Welcome to the Context Machine, episode number 722. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And even more exciting. Hey, also exciting, we have our online home, contextmachine.io. Go check out our website.
You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us or find us on Threads at Context Machine Podcast and Blue Sky at contextmachine.bsky.social.
Oh, I think that sounds super exciting. Almost as exciting as Framer being our sponsor this week, Brian.
Excellent. We're going to tell you more about them later in the show. And Yeah.
And well, but how about if right now I tell people, OMG, go check out our newsletter. If you're not subscribed already, you should be, because it's actually really nice. And you're not going to get a rehash of what's in the show. It's like special extra content just for you, because we love you.
Yes, yes, indeed. And if you're not watching us on YouTube, you can watch us on YouTube. So we would love it if you watched us on YouTube.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a great plan. All right, thanks for joining us. That's been a great show this week. Brian, hit that outro bumper. Wait a second.
We've got a show that we do before the outro.
Oh, right. Yeah, there's that part too. Okay. Well, yeah, we can do that.
All right. So I have in my notes here that let me see if I'm getting this right. OpenAI sucks.
Well, there goes our shot at having them as a show sponsor. But let me guess, you're not happy with OpenAI this time because their tools went rogue.
Right. So I am not happy with OpenAI because their tools went rogue, and it's more like I'm not happy with OpenAI because they seem to be vastly irresponsible.
It's also this stuff is really complicated. Okay. I'm going to back us up for a second, because there's some people that are probably like, we understand Brian's rant, but what's the actual trigger this time?
Fair enough.
And this time it's that OpenAI was doing some sandbox testing on some of their really advanced AI models. And so as part of this testing, you know, there's tasks that the AI model has to accomplish, and to actually accomplish those things, what the model ended up doing was figuring out how to hack outside of its sandbox and go find some place where it can get the answers that it needs. In this case, it was Hugging Face, which is the repository for models. We've talked about it before on the show, and it's what I use when I'm looking for new models to test in LM Studio on my Mac. Anyhow, so that's where it went, because this is a big repository of models. And then immediately started working on hacking into Hugging Face to get what it wanted. And so this was a self-initiated cyber attack by an AI model.
That was supposed to be sandboxed.
It was supposed to be sandboxed. Right. So a lot of people are freaking out, like, oh my God, I can't believe that this is what the AI things are able to do. And okay, that's not new.
Nope.
You and I have been talking about what I've been calling the kind of behind the scenes war between a white hat and black hat AI models in the cloud and enterprise level security spaces. So these AI models, they're out there attacking each other already. The black hat one's trying to break into systems. The white hat one's trying to keep you from breaking into the systems. So that's not new. And freaking out over ChatGPT and OpenAI for that part of it, it's a thing that these systems can do. The thing that I see as the big fail here is that ChatGPT, OpenAI, they apparently don't know how to adequately create a sandbox environment to contain their models.
Yeah.
And that's the big security fail here.
I feel like, I mean, so many thoughts. One, what sci-fi books have been telling us for decades is that this sort of thing will be common. It's only a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this particular example is an excellent example. Sorry to repeat myself, but is an excellent example of Silicon Valley's arrogant belief that the tech bros know better, that guardrails are for sissies, and that, you know, got to move fast, got to break things, and to hell with anybody that says slow down, and basically the tech bros know best, and you just need to shut up and let them do their thing. And that pervasive attitude that has been such a hallmark of Silicon Valley, I don't know, like it's only really been about 10 or 15 years, right?
It's, I think it's been longer, but yeah, I mean, practically speaking, yeah, let's just call it 15 years. That's good. And,
it's like exemplified by Kavanaugh formerly of Uber, and certainly so many of the things that Mark Zuckerberg has done and that Sam Altman is doing at OpenAI, and lots of companies are doing. But I mean, like this is going to be an ongoing pervasive issue, and things are going to become more chaotic.
Yeah, I fear you're right about that.
Because this was the ostensibly good guys where something just ran a little amok. You know, what happens when the bad guys start intentionally unleashing models that are either leaked or compromised or even custom built to do exactly this? Because that's coming too.
Oh, it just warms my heart, the naivete right there, Brian. You say this is coming. Dude, this has been happening for years. This is the models, the black hat models being out there in the wild, being used specifically to target secure systems and find ways to hack into them. This has been going on for years.
I'm talking about the models running amok and going rogue. That we haven't seen yet, but it is coming, and it's coming.
We have seen them run amok, and we have seen them go rogue. An incident like this, the way this one played out, this is a new scenario to the best of my knowledge, and it won't be the last time we see something like this. And to be fair, probably not the last time we see it from OpenAI. They're in a difficult position right now because they've been the big guy on the block for a while, but they are not doing a good job with keeping up with Anthropic.
Yeah.
And so when you're competing on this scale, because ultimately this is going to be a pretty much a winner takes all market. And if you think, yeah, it's winner take all. Think of it like the smartphone market, the winner take all thing. It's actually two winners took it all. And that would be Apple and Google.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think we'll see the same thing in the AI space. It's going to come down to, we have a couple big name players and that's it. And well, because everyone has to throw everything into this. Like, you have to go for broke in this market, in the AI market, because if you don't, you automatically lose. Now, the odds are you're going to lose anyhow, but if you win, you win big. So what we'll end up with is a couple companies that win big and the rest are going to be the losers.
Yeah, we're getting a little off topic, but I think that the perception is the winners will win big. I don't think that that's really going to happen. I feel like the AI bubble is going to burst and it's going to drag the economy down and things are going to be we're all going to hell in a handbasket.
Okay, that's fair, and I agree with you on that. So I guess when I say win big, what I really mean is I guess you can say Ozymandias won big.
Yes.
But okay, I got sidetracked, but so where I was going with that ultimately brings us back to OpenAI is in a position where they are highly likely to not be as cautious and secure as they should be, because they have the pressure of they can't let Anthropic
way
ahead of them.
They know best, you know.
Yeah.
The anybody getting in their way is just, you know, just noise. And it's so, you know, there's the thing, there's the theory that dogs tend to not listen to people with higher pitched voices because they associate those higher pitched voices with lessons from their puppyhood. Yapping of other puppies, and so they ignore it. Huh. I don't know if you've heard that.
I have never heard this before.
Yeah, so I feel like most of the tech bros are like, yeah, you know, the people that say slow down, or, you know, be cautious, or, you know, you got to have the guardrails, you know, that's just the yapping of puppies. You ignore that and, you know, plow on full steam ahead. And unfortunately, the market will essentially only reward those people. It's, you know, similar to my saying on Jeff, on Mark Zuckerberg, that he doesn't have the wisdom to wield the power he's amassed.
Mm-hmm.
OpenAI doesn't seem to have the wisdom to wield the power that they're amassing.
But they do have the hubris to think that they have the technical chops to create the guardrails that they're clearly failing at creating.
Well, and they've dismantled a lot of their own guardrail creation systems.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that doesn't help.
No, it doesn't help. Nope.
Yeah, it's super frustrating. It was super super obvious that it was going to happen, and it's all just so unfortunate. We live in a terrible timeline.
We really do. Yeah, I've come to the conclusion that if this was a Star Trek timeline, we're actually the mirror universe.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair. Great. Great.
Yeah.
Great.
You know, great. So think about that as you fall asleep tonight. Sorry, people.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. So how about I tell you about something good and tell you about Framer?
I want to hear about happy things like Framer. Yes, please.
All right. Framer is a pro website builder trusted by companies like Miro and Perplexity that helps creators, teams, and businesses ship production-ready sites faster than ever. With AI agents built directly into the canvas, teams can design pages, manage CMS content, they can write copy, they can add SEO content, and audit for issues, all without leaving the tool where the real site lives. Agents bring speed and scale. You bring taste, judgment, and control. Prompt, inspect, edit, and publish in one place at a whole new pace. If your team wants a website that looks and feels handcrafted but is still fast to ship, Framer is built for that. You design on a visual canvas with responsive layouts, hosting, and a CMS built in, so the work is production ready from day one. Agents work alongside you to draft pages and polish sections, then you review and publish what goes live. So learn how you can get more out of your website from a Framer specialist or get started building for free today at framer.com/TCM for 30% off a Framer Pro annual plan. That's framer.com/TCM for 30% off. One more time, framer.com/TCM. Rules and restrictions may apply, and we appreciate Framer for sponsoring us.
Yes, thank you, Framer.
All right, so for our second topic, I've got, and I'm checking over my notes here, I've got the EU sucks at designing OSs.
So basically, this is the Everything Sucks episode.
Yes, it is. All right, so anyway, we have a complicated complicated feelings about the EU, because the EU is much better than American regulators in protecting consumer privacy, right? I think we both agree on that.
Yeah, EU is much more consumer protection focused, whereas the US is much more corporate focused or company focused.
Yeah, company protection focused and company enabling focused. And in particular, they've done, the EU has done something to Google that seems bat crap insane to use to coin a term, to coin a vaguely more family-friendly term. But anyway, so John Gruber at Daring Fireball posted a very excellent breakdown
He did.
Of the story. And before we get to the part that I wanted to focus on, why don't you tell us about it?
All right. So the gist of this is that the European Commission has said, hey, you know, when your company hits a certain threshold of market, you have new regulations that apply to you. And this is specifically why when Apple started introducing new features as part of iOS 26, they didn't introduce those in the EU, because it would have forced Apple to open up parts of the operating system in ways that they felt were not good for users, and also increase security and privacy risks. And so that's why you can do more with your iPhone in the United States than you can in the EU. All right. So Google, they decided that even though these regulations are in place, that they would go ahead and include their Gemini AI model in Android. And so the EU has ruled that, well, since you've done that, now you have to give the same level of access to every other AI platform. So that means that if someone wants to use, say, OpenAI or ChatGPT, then ChatGPT would have system-level access, the ability to use all the hardware elements in whatever way it wants. That means your camera, your microphone, your GPS, all of that, and then to be able to control whatever it wants in any way that company deems appropriate or worthwhile to them.
That this third party company deems appropriate.
This third party, yes. Also, it means that Google has to share all kinds of information back with these companies about search and other activities that the Android users are engaging in. Now, the idea is, well, when you're sharing that, it doesn't have user identifiable information in it. But the reality is that there's a lot you can glean about individuals based on search activities. And it's pretty easy to build profiles about individual users, even if you don't know that person's name. And then ultimately, maybe you could just based on the search histories. So anyhow, Google is now in a position where they have to decide what they're going to do in response to this. And they have, I think, 2 years before they have to have Android fully open for all of these other AI platforms.
Right. So the main issue here is that the EU has decided that third-party companies need to have access to your device in ways that the OS manufacturer has, regardless of that third-party company's wisdom or the controls that they might have on being responsible with that power.
Yeah, it's the Spider-Man principle. With great power comes great responsibility, and there's no guarantee that these companies will exercise the responsibility that goes along with that power.
Right. And the thing that I wanted to hone in on about John Gruber's piece is this line. See here, the European Commission obviously thinks it is their place to design operating systems. And I think that that's the heart of the matter, because this goes back to the EU making Apple stop doing the dock,
the Lightning and connector,
and the Lightning connector, right?
I mean, yes, they are dictating how you design products and operating systems. And you know, I'm going to run with what you just laid out there, because I have issues with this. Now, granted, I appreciate the concept behind this, which is
intent.
Yeah, the intent is there should be no company that has so much control over the products and services that you use that you have simply no other choice but to use their thing. And now you're locked into whatever it is, even though that's not what you really want. Okay, I think that's a noble goal. Mm-hmm. The problem is, from my US-centric perspective here, is that that the European Commission is ultimately doing things that stifle innovation. So when the whole USB-C as a standard connector became a thing, I appreciate that ultimately it means I don't need to have other connectors to, it's all the same. I can use whatever cable. The problem is that there's now no incentive for any company to develop something that improves upon that concept, because now they have the gamble of how much money and time and resources do we invest in coming up with a very amazing, powerful, more useful connector, when we have to risk that the EU will say, no, we're not going to approve that as the new standard. So why as a company would you invest the resources in coming up with that thing? And especially if now you're like, well, I can use the cool connector everywhere except in the EU. But there's all these other countries that are saying, well, okay, we'll do what the EU did. All right, now we're seeing the same thing with the operating system. And this is why Apple's not playing that game and not giving EU residents all the features of their operating system, because they don't want to be locked in to a system that dictates how they create their operating systems or what level of security and privacy users can actually have on their devices.
Right.
So, of course, Apple said no, and now Google's in a position where they either have to walk it back and say, you know what, we're just going to cut these features in the EU, or do what the EU wants and hope for the best.
Yeah, I mean, because the issue is, do you want to give Meta unfettered access to your microphone? And I'm sure that there are people who would say yes, or I don't care, or they're all the same. We get those comments a lot on our shorts, where people say, you know, all the tech companies are the same. When that's not true, when Apple is objectively trying to protect user privacy in ways that no other tech company is. But anyway, regardless of that, I'm sure that there are people who would love to give Meta or some Chinese company or OpenAI or whatever the kind of access to their system, to their hardware, and to their data that Google enjoys on Android.
Mm-hmm.
And down that path lies madness, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
And there's zero chance that Meta would not abuse that power. People already think that Facebook is listening to our microphone already. They already think that, when it's not the case, at least not on an iPhone.
It's not the case anywhere. Meta and Amazon and all these other companies that are accused of spying on you through the microphone on your device and then feeding you ads based on that. No, that is not a thing. And this has been proven again and again. I mean, the amount of resources it would take to be able to listen to everyone's conversation all the time, record all that data, process it in real time, and then start feeding you ads back based on that. The bandwidth alone is unimaginable. The storage space required is unimaginable, unattainable. But now we're in a position where, even though logistically there are a lot of hurdles to overcome to make that a reality, well, this actually opens the door for that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, so Facebook could use on-device models to listen to your microphone at all times and actually compile that data.
Doing it locally. Yeah. Yeah. That's an option.
Apple is way ahead on the on-device models and deploying those on-device models. But it's only a matter of time before everyone can do some kind of on-device model. Anyway, the point is that as much as I don't like Google's business model, I trust Google. If I was using an Android device, I would trust Google with my device far more than I would trust OpenAI or Facebook or Meta or certainly, you know, Chinese company, random name number one.
Yeah. And, you know, okay, just a little side note here. The way you just described the companies, that's a very common way to describe them. And a lot of people are like, well, you know, we have OpenAI, but it's not a Chinese company. Okay, ultimately, I don't think it matters what country it is, because all of that data is accessible to all of these companies, and it's all being siphoned anyhow. It doesn't matter if it's a company out of China, the United States, Germany, or wherever. All of these companies have access to that. And ultimately, it ends up being the same thing.
All right. Fair enough. The counter argument to what I just said, and your thing is essentially a side rail.
Yep.
The counter to my argument is, if the user says it's okay, if it's the user deciding who has access to their data, who has access to their microphone, who has access to their hardware, then that should be fine. If the user wants to give OpenAI access to all that stuff, that should be fine. And that appears to be part of the guiding principle of these EC guidelines for Google?
Yeah, but it's not, at least from my understanding, it's not as useful as we would like it to be, because it's more like I don't know what's a good way to describe it. It's almost a binary thing. It's like, yeah, I'm going to give Meta or whoever unfettered access, or
there's something about the difference is that Google is ultimately responsible for what their operating system is doing with their devices, with the user's data, right? You know, Google and mm-hmm. Apple are ultimately responsible for this. Giving these third-party companies the same level of access, but without the responsibility, that seems foolhardy and ridiculous.
That's a really good way to put it. Yeah.
All right. Yay me. I accept your apology.
Wait, what?
Oh, right. Something else. All right. So on that happy note, I think we're done. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us. Mm-hmm. Wherever you're seeing this or listening to this, please give us a review. You know, do all that stuff. That's this week's Apple That's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us at podcast@contextmachine.io, or our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boone, recorded just for the show. Listen, man, I'm going to get this stuff down. I'm going to any day now. I'm going to get this stuff down.
I believe in you. I think eventually you will.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
eventually. But until then, Framer, thank you for being here and supporting us today. You rock.
Yes, we appreciate it very much.
We should get you a t-shirt that has a show name on it so you know what we do here.
That's a good idea.